Now we come in chapter 5 to the trespass offering. And here we have sin as an act. And I must say, though, that some expositors, they treat these first 13 verses here of chapter 5 as part of the sin offering. There is, I think, ample justification for this. But the word trespass here is important, but it probably should be translated guilt or for his guilt. But we find that the sin offering is required for the trespass because the act of sin is caused by the nature of sin. The axe must be laid to the root of the tree, always. You and I got that nature. All sin comes from the same source. That old sin nature that you and I got from Adam came down to us. We are going to treat this entire chapter as the trespass offering. Now, what is a trespass? I think all of us know that today. Do you ever walk down the street, start to cut across a corner where there's a grassy lot, and you saw a sign that says, "No trespassing"? Well, you know what that means, don't you? Well, trespassing means the invasion of the rights of others. I think that the word liberty is the most abused thing today. A lot of these folks running around talking about they want their liberty, burning things down and parading. Well, my friend, you have a perfect right to swing your fist any way you want to. But where my nose begins, your liberty leaves off. You have no right to interfere with somebody else's liberty, you see. And it's a trespass when you do. We all have a sinful nature, a fallen nature. In fact, man is totally depraved. He has actually no capacity for God whatsoever. Now, you may think that's strong, and it is, but God makes it very clear that he just cannot, will not, accept the works of a unsaved man. God is not saving the unsaved by their works. He says their righteousness is filthy rags, and that it's not by works of righteousness that he saves us by grace. But notice what he says in the 8th of Romans at verse 7, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. It's impossible for an unsaved man to please God. The only way that we can please him, when the religious folk in that day came and said, "What can we do to the works of God?" What are the works? He says, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." Well, that's to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. You and I have a sin nature, and that sin offering dealt with that. Now, the trespass offering here in chapter 5 is sin as an act. And you find out in these first few verses here, the first 13 verses, some have treated them as part of the sin offering. Well, actually, it's a sin offering. Because, after all, where do trespasses come from? They come because we have that kind of a nature. Now, we sin because we're sinners. You don't have to wait to sin to become a sinner. You are a sinner, and that's the reason that you sin. Now, we have, in this trespass offering, specific acts of sin that are committed in ignorance, and that's in the first 13 verses. Then you have non-specific acts of sin committed in ignorance, and that's verses 14 to 19. Now, when you come to chapter 6, you have specific acts of sin committed deliberately. So you have here the trespass offering. And then you have the law of the trespass offering over in chapter 7. Now let's look here at these specific acts of sin that are committed in ignorance. And I think probably to get into the chapter, let me read the first verse. And if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and is a witness, whether he hath seen or known of it. If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. What does he mean by this? Well, first of all, let me say that there are four specific sins that are listed here. And the question would naturally arise, are these the only specific things that you could commit that are sin? No. These are given merely as examples. Tell the truth, I think you could have filled up the rest of the book of Leviticus with specific sins. Some preacher several years ago back east, he made up a list of sins. He had spent some time getting it together, and he had listed, I believe it was 800 specific sins. And by the way, he was just swamped with letters from people who wanted the list of sins. The fact of the matter is, they wanted the list of sins because they thought maybe there was something they were missing, and they knew they were not doing 800 things, so they wanted the list. Well, here we have four, and the sins that are mentioned here are merely given to us as examples, and this would apply to anything that could be called a trespass. Now, we have this, if a soul sin and hear the voice of swearing, and this has been translated, if a person sin in this respect. You see, it has to do here with the hearing of an oath, whether he hath seen or known of it. If he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. You see, it's the case of a witness who does not tell all he knows. He withholds truth to the detriment of some individual. And this is a sin of omission, by the way. There are a lot of sins like that. Now, there are a great many folk in church today. They come in, they think their hands are clean. They say, well, I didn't murder anybody this week, and I didn't break the speed limit. And I certainly didn't steal. But the very interesting thing is that he didn't tell all the truth, though. James put it like this in James 4:17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. You find over in 1 Kings, the 8th chapter, verse 31, this is said, if any man trespass against his neighbor, and an oath be laid upon him to cause him to swear, and the oath come before thine altar in this house, then hear thou in heaven, and do and judge thy servants, condemning the wicked to bring his way upon his head, and justifying the righteous to give him according to his righteousness. And this is not telling the truth when you ought to tell the truth. Let me give an example of what I'm trying to say here. Here is a gossip in a little town, and she's crossing the square, the street there, and as she is, she sees one of the prominent citizens of the town, the president of the bank, who has a lovely home and a lovely wife, and she sees him crossing the street, and lo and behold, a car runs into a secretary at the bank that's crossing the street, knocks her down. And the president of the bank, he rushes over, he picks her up in his arms and takes her into a doctor's office there. And so what happens? This gossip who saw that rushes to the telephone, and she calls up the wife of the president of the bank, and she says, do you know, Madge, that I saw your husband with another woman in his arms? Now, that's the truth, isn't it? I mean, by that, let me put it like this. That's the facts, but it's not the truth. You see, just withheld information. She didn't tell the whole story. There are a lot of sins of omission today. I had the experience not long ago of a group of Christian men in a meeting. And they were talking about the pastor, and they gave certain information that actually was accurate. But it wasn't the truth. They didn't tell it all. They just told part of it. And they were willing to let that group of men leave there believing that they had heard the entire truth. May I say that's a trespass? That's one of the most vicious sins that can be committed today. It's number one, by the way, on God's sin parade here that he mentions. Over in Proverbs, God says there's seven things that he hates, and number one is a lying tongue. And that's what you have here. You remember when our Lord was put on oath, when they questioned him, he kept quiet, didn't say a word. And we read in Matthew 26:63, but Jesus held his peace. And the high priest answered and said unto him, I adjure thee by the living God that thou tellest whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. Now the Lord Jesus broke his silence. He was no longer dumb, like a sheep before his shearers. Why? He's under oath, you see. Jesus saith unto him, thou hast said, nevertheless I say unto you, hereafter shall ye see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven. You see, when he's put under oath, he spoke. Now, we have the second thing mentioned here. Number two, or if a soul touch any unclean thing, whether it be a carcass of an unclean beast, or a carcass of unclean cattle, or the carcass of unclean creeping things, and if it be hidden from him, he also shall be unclean and guilty. Now, this is the law concerning uncleanness. A man may become polluted by contact with a dead animal without being aware of it, while others are witnesses. They know what he did. Now, a dead carcass caused uncleanness by contact. Why was that true? Well, death, you see, is the result of sin. And the wages of sin is death. And therefore, he's to keep away from that which represents sin. Now, this speaks of the Christian today out in the world. A great many people, they walk down through the streets of Los Angeles. You get your eyes dirty. You can't help it in this town, besides smog, by the way. And you hear things, and you sometimes think things. May I say to you, we get unclean. Now, you can't rush into God's presence, and it may be that some of these things may be hidden from us. We may not realize it. The psalmist said in Psalm 19:12, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. And as we said the other day, this man always prayed and made the statement, Lord, if I've sinned, forgive me. And Mel Trotter got tired of hearing that, and he said, why don't you tell the Lord what it is? The man says, I can't think what it is. And Mel Trotter told him, says, you guess at it. And he said, you know, he hit it the very first time. I don't think you'll have much trouble, but we ought also pray. Forgive us if we sin and we don't know about. And it was a trespass because it was offensive to others, and it was a transgression of the law. Whoso committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law. And that's one of the definitions. That's in 1 John 3:4. Now, verse 3, or if he touch the uncleanness of man, whatsoever uncleanness it be, that a man shall be defiled withal, and it be hid from him when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty. Now, that's the same as the case of an unclean animal, yet God makes a distinction between man and beast here. The penalty for this is more severe than that of the beast. Apparently, there were other distinctions of uncleanness concerning man other than death, therefore, so that you are apt to get soiled walking through this world. Now, verse 4, we have the fourth thing that's mentioned here specifically. Or if a soul swear, pronouncing with his lips to do evil or to do good, whatsoever it be that a man shall pronounce with an oath, and it be hid from him, when he knoweth of it, then he shall be guilty in one of these. Now, sometimes we promise to do something, we don't do it. We forget about it. Something like this, it's rather careless. We promise that we'll serve the Lord. I think Jephthah is an example of a man promising to do something rash, to offer his daughter. That was a rash thing to do. And Simon Peter, you remember, boldly declared he would not deny Jesus, but he'd die for him. I hear people make very rash statements. I think some of our songs are dynamite, to tell the truth. I'll go with him through the garden. I see people that will sing that, and they wouldn't even come to church on Sunday night if it was foggy a little or a little sprinkle. And then they talk about going with him through the garden. That's careless speech. In fact, they're lying, doing nothing in the world but lying. I used to have a retired Methodist preacher attended my church out in Pasadena. At the end of the service, I'd give hymns like that to sing. I don't do that anymore, but I did then. And he'd always, when he'd go out and we'd had a song like that, why, he'd say to me, "Well, you made liars out of this congregation again today." Well, if you sing those and you don't mean them, you're a liar, friends. I didn't say that. That's what God says here. And I don't think we have a right to demand that God answer our prayer. I think that's careless speech, and I think it's presumptuous, because we're told, if ye ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. Now, where'd you get the idea you can demand anything of God? And then he says here, then he shall be guilty of one of these. Well, it refers to these four things, yet there are many more that could have been included. Now notice verses 5 and 6. It shall be when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he hath sinned in that thing, and he shall bring his trespass offering unto the Lord for his sin, which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering. And the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin. Now, the offering is a sin offering, but it was because of a trespass. Now, you see, confession is commanded for the first time. This is the first time God said anything about it. And up to this time, of course, hasn't been secret sin. The fact of the matter is the offering was an open admission. Now it's a secret sin. And therefore, today, this is to be brought out in the open. You remember old Achan, when he took that wedge of gold, Babylonish garment, that had to be dealt with publicly, because it was that kind of a sin. And we find here the laying on of hands in the other offerings was an admission of sin. And here, confession comes first and then the offering. See, in the sweet savor offerings, the offerings preceded any thought of confession. Now, the opposite is true here. And I think this is what our Lord had in mind in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, "Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother hath aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, go thy way, first be reconciled to thy brother, then come and offer your gift." Now, the believer today is to confess his sin to God privately, but make restitution to the injured party. And trespass offering just simply means offering of guilt. It was a sin offering, as all sin, you see, comes from that nature that we have today. Now we are told in verse 7, "And if he be not able to bring a lamb, then he shall bring for the trespass which he've committed two turtle doves," or two young pigeons. Well, this is for the poor people. But suppose he couldn't even get a bird. "And he shall bring them unto the priest, he shall offer him." And then we're told here that the blood must be shed, because the head of the bird had to be removed. And it reveals here that the sinner has complete forgiveness, even with the little bird. But notice this, "But if he be not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he that sins shall bring for his offering the tenth part of an ephah of fine flour for a sin offering." In other words, he just bring a piece of bread. That's all he'd have to bring, so that the poorest of the poor are not left out. Now you have, beginning at verse 14, non-specific acts of sin committed in ignorance. Now there are a lot of things that are not specified. Listen to this. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, if a soul commit a trespass and sin through ignorance in the holy things of the Lord, then he shall bring for his trespass unto the Lord a ram without blemish out of the flocks, and so on. Now, we have here these non-specific things. This is a wrong committed through ignorance, and it has to do with robbing God in connection with tithes and offerings. This is something that I wish we could go into in detail, but we can't do that. Then we read in verse 17, and if a soul sin, commit any of these things which are forbidden to be done by the commandments of the Lord, though he wist it not, knew it not, yet is he guilty and shall bear his iniquity. Ignorance of the law excuses no one. That's true of civil law. And then verses 18 and 19, he shall bring a ram without blemish. And here again, the ram is given as the only animal for the trespass offering.